Brothers power hits, aren't you? Which and any which here, okay, here's an idea. Let's do one of the songs that that epitomizes the sound of Mr. Don Dix.
That epitomizes the sound that is the
if that's possible.
I don't know. It isn't possible.
Well, wish you luck. Let's go.
I'm gonna do a song for all the what do I want to do tonight?
Chief Chatter? You could maybe
you were so blind to my intentions. You were too dignified to mention why your dress was torn. Get in the car, I said, I'll take you home. I listened very patiently to what it done. How could you tell me all the secrets? Didn't it seem like taking a cheap shot back in the ladies' room? Why don't I seem like a man to you? Why don't I seem like a man to you? I said, why don't I seem like a man? In the night to save the day. I throw these tired feelings to the floor. Pick them up and treat them like the girl next door. In my rear window there's a sunrise. Here in the night has gone. I can't sympathize with you anymore.
Don, just a quick question. That's from your album. Is it pronounced E-E-E or triple E, or how do you say that? Because when that came out, I was in college. I played it at the college radio station, and we had like 30 different pronunciations. What was it, triple E?
Well, it's the real name of the title is of the album is
okay.
Like that, but okay. It's real hard to say it that way.
Yeah, okay.
But that really is the title. It's taken from the painting. All my album titles are... Mm-hmm. They're paintings first, you know. And
okay.
So that was what the woman named that painting. Yeah.
So close?
That's fabulous.
Thank you very much. But, by the way, I was inches away from chiming in and singing along, but I don't think that's... Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you asked for it. Next up, batting third, Marshall Crenshaw.
Thank you. There's a song called Walking Around in the Afternoon. Last night we had a showdown that went on till long about four. God knows you sure surprised me. Sometimes I just don't know what to think anymore. But listen now, let's take a walk anyway. Let's go walking around on a warm Saturday now. It's late afternoon. Let's keep walking around till we see the moon. Yeah, we're walking around in the afternoon. We walk into the sea of faces, taking in the sights and sounds. Maybe this will be the last time. We might be each better off without the other around right now. I got nothing to say. I'm just walking around on a warm Saturday now. It's late afternoon. Let's keep walking around till we see the moon. Just walking around in the afternoon with the crowd all. The sun in our faces. We've known all these places for a long time, it's true. And I've been a long time loving you. And I don't want to see us end up with broken hearts. What's been going on between us will either make us stronger or tear us apart right now. As we walk together, my mind is racing. We'll have to be facing this situation we made real soon, I'm afraid. And I don't want to see us end up with broken hearts. What's been going on between us has got to make us stronger or tear us apart right now. It might go either way. We're just walking around on a warm Saturday now. It's late afternoon. Let's keep walking around till we see the moon. Just walking around in the afternoon. Oh, oh yeah. Walking around on a warm Saturday. Keep walking around till we see you. Just walking around in the afternoon.
Thank you. Your turn. Yeah. Sorry. Batting cleanup. Jules Shear.
What'd you say? Oh, okay.
That's what I thought I heard.
Jay Shear. oh, jeez. Okay. If she knew what she wants, if she knew what she needs, if she knew what she wants. Are you hearing my guitar? Is it breaking up or something? It's breaking up up here. If she knew what she wants, I'd be giving it to her, giving it to her. But she wants everything, or there's nothing she wants. I'm crazy for this girl. If she knew what she wants, I'd be giving it to her, giving it to her. I'd say
day she's satisfied and next I find her crying. It's nothing that she can explain. If she knew what she wants, if she knew what she needs, if she knew what she wants, if she knew what she wants, I'd be giving it to her, giving it to her. There's no sense thinking I could rehabilitate her when she's fine, fine, fine. She's got so many ideas running around in her head. She doesn't need nothing. Work hard to refine, so they walk a crooked line. She would not understand why anyone would have to try to walk a line when they could fly. If she knew what she needs, if she knew what she wants, if she knew what she wants, I'd be giving it to her, giving it to her. But she wants everything. Crazy for this girl. If she knew what she wants, I'd be giving it to her, giving it to her, giving it to her now.
Thank you. Thanks.
Mr. Halley.
These lights make your guitar go fast.
Your man of steel is a man of sin, man of never, never land. You stand by and hold his hand, 'cause you don't wanna see. He stands by and holds his tongue. Deep down you know something's wrong. He can see you're just not strong enough to set him free. Your man of steel will never bend. He'll pretend, but in the end we both know no one's friend for real. His x-ray eyes have seen your cause. You can't catch him off his guard.
must blow away, crumble like his feet of clay. Around your feet are stones. Your bed of roses fade to black. Your trail of crumbs won't lead you back. Birds of prey don't cut no slack. They just cut to the bone. Your man of steel will never bleed. He's got no weakness to conceal. No regrets, he feels the need to feel. His x-ray eyes can see your pain. He'll explain he's not to blame. You tried to make your love a chain, but it don't seem real. To your man of steel stands tall and straight, counts on you to build the way. You'd hate to say how much you hate the deal. His x-ray eyes can see your trust. Even armor turns to dust. And even now he feels the rust spread from head to heel.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo! Okay, starting off the round of questioning, starting with Mr. Dixon down there. Don, mind if I call you Don? Can I call you Don?
Not a bit, Chuck.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Awfully nice of you. You've got a new... Would you call it a greatest hits? Is it a compilation? Is it all my best?
Only in my dreams would it be called a greatest hits. I call it the Diamond Collection.
Okay. Yeah, because Marshall just released one. It's just a collection, which is nice. And, yeah. But, do you...
No, that was that stupid record company that put that out.
Ooh.
Oh.
We won't talk about that then.
No.
Okay, so on your new one, if I'm a ham, well, you're a sausage. That's
right.
What it's called.
Correct.
It starts and ends with little snippets from when you were 8. Is that correct?
Right, from my youth.
How long have you been writing songs?
And that's Eaton, isn't it?
Right. And do you remember, like, the very first stuff you used to write? I mean, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have it written down?
No, it's not written down.
Where are you going, Don? Okay.
It would be obscene to perform them in any sort of length.
Do you look back on them and say, gee, I have like 8 words in this song and that's about it?
I had lots of words in my songs. Too many words in my early songs.
Gotcha. Were they like 20-minute Allman Brothers jams or something?
No,
or?
Okay, I played a little hunk of one.
Okay.
And how old were you when you wrote
this? I was 13 when I wrote this one.
Okay.
But I can't remember. I remembered it the other night.
Is it just like a
girl? You are like the summer breeze that thrills my soul, you see. You are like a tender, warm, and graceful melody.
sweat is in your sweet young mind. And you know that it's tearing my heart out. Here's the best line. Girls like you are hard to find. Whoa, girl.
It's so true.
I beg to differ.
Yeah, that it was written about a swimmer I knew from Somerville, South Carolina, in the summer of, gosh, I don't know, 60-something.
Summer 1940-something. It's pretty literate for being 13 years old. It's really good.
Not particularly. You just haven't hung out with 13-year-olds
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah, good point. I didn't compose when I was 13. But do you look back on your old stuff, like especially, you know, you started off with the band Arrogance. Do you look back on that stuff with fondness, or do you...
Most of it I really detest. I really like the songs that the other guy in the band wrote and sang. I think they're brilliant. And I think
who was the other
really
guy?
Great. This guy named Robert Kirkland, who's now a carpenter, you know. And he's,
it's a natural
really
progression, rock band, carpenter.
It really, really more natural than you would imagine.
Yeah.
You know, most of the stuff, I was like really, really, you know, couching things in, you know, odd terms and trying way too hard, you know,
right,
back then, I think.
When did you start writing songs that you really felt were, like, if you look back now, do you say, ooh, when I was 20, man, those were great songs?
No, I pretty much despise everything.
Okay,
like most
good.
Of us, you know.
Okay, that's good. That's healthy.
I mean, you know, all you can, you know, it's, you know, you see the failures and you don't think much about anything beyond that. As far as the things you sing live, you tend to sing live the things that you remember, at least in my case, that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes those are the best songs, sometimes they're not.
You did that one very well. Does anybody else have any goofy stories about the first song? Jules, do you remember the first one you wrote?
Now, these guys made me sing the first song I ever wrote.
It was really good, though.
I still haven't recovered.
You really gotta do it.
It was called Ooey. I wrote it when I was 5. It's really good.
Let's go.
It's really good. Just a little snippet. Just a little snippet.
Look, if you want to be my friend,
we won't be your friends unless you do it. Just a little
okay.
snippet.
Okay. Well, a little snippet was all there was.
Okay. All right. Well, then give us the whole thing.
Okay. This is very Elvis influence, but it's so surreal. I don't know why. Okay, it went like that.
5 years old, remember that.
Here comes Al, he ate his pal. He threw him down another L. He said, ooh-wee, come on, ooh, you're the swingin'est girl in town.
Good. Very nice.
Threw him down another Al, he said.
I was 5, you know, I didn't know a lot of words. I think I probably used every word I knew. Just put him in a certain order and that was it.
Your turn, Marshall. Just a quick question. This is something that that I wanted to pose to you and also to, you know, obviously everybody else. I'm 23 years old. I just graduated from college a couple years ago, and my generation is familiar with the... Hey, take it easy. Go ahead, say
what
you
are you laughing about?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
Just my boyish exuberance, I guess. Like, for me, and for people our age, songwriters that we're supposed to think are just truly incredible are, you know, ones that came out of the very late 60s and the 70s and things like that. But there's, like, when Doc Pomus passed away recently, there was a big article in Rolling Stone, and, you know, you hear about it all over the news. But for people my age and younger, it's like we're not familiar with Doc Pomus as a songwriter. We're familiar with his songs and the artists that did them. Are there, you know, songwriters from the 50s, early 60s that you think that we should turn ourselves onto, our generation, my generation? You know, like people like Doc Pomus and things like that. It's a pretty intense question, so take a couple seconds and reflect. And anybody else, if you want to chime in, please do.
Well, we were thinking, we were just talking downstairs about...
yeah, you really got to get to this guy, Paul Anka. Uh-huh. Unbelievable.
Okay, wait, I should get notes.
One of the first singer-songwriters.
My baby!
Yeah, early Anka. Write that down.
Early
Anka. Go into a record store and say, do you have any early Anka?
Early Anka. Hey, pal,
your life will improve.
Okay, great. Okay. That's all I need to know.
No, like, did Doc Pomus have, you know, his songs and the songs of that era obviously had a big influence as you were growing up? Well, maybe not necessarily.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, for sure. But he was one of the best, too, Doc Pomus. Mm-hmm. Best of that era.
Are there any others that you would recommend, I mean, honestly, other than Paul Anka?
Willie Dixon, Lieber Stoller. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. There's lots of them.
Anybody else?
The Bryants.
Budlow and Felice Bryant. Yeah. Anka.
Anka. It keeps coming back to Anka. Now, if you could do a song for us that you draw, you know, one of your tunes that you draw an inspiration from.
All right, well,
possibly.
It's a pretty obvious one. I'm going to play Someday, Someway. I was really trying to rip off this Gene Vincent record called Lot of Lovin'. And Buddy Holly stuff, too, you know. I was trying to sort of, like, fuse all these things into one thing. And here's a thing called Someday, Somewhere.
I can't stand to see you sad. I can't bear to hear you cry. If you can't tell me what you need, all I can do is wonder why. Someday, someway, someday, someway, and someday, someway, maybe I'll understand you. After all you've done for me, all I really want to do is take the love you brought my way, and I give it all right back to you. Someday, someway, someday, someway, hear what I say. Someday, someway, maybe you'll understand me. You've taken everything from me, and I've taken everything from you. I love you for my whole life through. After all you've done for me, all I really want to do is take the love you brought my way, and I'll give it all right back to you. Someday, someway, someday, someway, hear what I say. Someday, someway, maybe you'll understand me. Well, you've taken everything from me, and I've taken everything from you. I love you for my whole life through. I said I can't stand to see you sad. I can't bear to hear you cry. If you can't tell me what you need, all I can do is wonder why. Someday, someway, someday, someway, someday, someway, maybe I'll understand you. Someday, someway, oh yeah, someday, someway, someday, someway, maybe you'll understand me. Someday, someway, whoa, whoa, someday, someway, someday, someway, maybe I'll understand.
Thank you.
This is a song, I wrote this song with a friend of mine in New York. He plays in a group called the Del Fuegos. His name is Dan Zanes. Yeah, he's a really good guy. He's an eccentric kind of fella. We wrote this song together. We wrote all the music together, and some of the words we wrote together, but most of them I wrote. I wish I wrote it that fast, but I really didn't. So I'm gonna start over again. I got a little excited there. I did it once in a while. I every time I play this song, I start too fast. I'm gonna do it tonight. Uh-huh.
Called Darlene. I wrote it about this girl that I met outside a Continental Club in Austin, Texas, very briefly. I think she was a prostitute. She just came down the street and said, she's walking down the street and I saw her and she was really cute. And I didn't say anything. She said hi, and then I said hi, and then she went across the street to the hotel, and I never saw her again. But I had a rich fantasy relationship.
I'm going to cry.
What a come on.
I've never opened up to anybody like I am this time.
We're here for you, David.
Darling, our love is wrong. But I'll tag along as long as it's so strong. The way you walk on the back of a beat, talking in the street. Well, I can feel the heat
from across the street. Darling, how did you know? When I've never dreamed I would want you so. A stray dog talk that's your stock and trade is my serenade. And don't you be afraid to call a spade And when you cook your finger, you got all my attention now. Darling, and wonder how. It's a regular revelation when you read my mind and you show what I want you to show. Darling, when I want you to know what I like is sensation. Darling, what's done is done. No time just to judge, am I the little one? We got dreams that must be chased. Lips and wine to taste. No time to waste, so let's make haste. But darling, don't you get me wrong. I'm the son of the creature that crawled from a radio song. Like a moth with just one aim. Well, I gotta be the flame. You know it's such a shame and life's so tame. When you cook your finger, you get all my attention now. Darling, and wonder how. It's a regular revolution. When you read my mind, you show what I want you to show. Darling, when I want you to know what I like is sensation. Darling, 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 darling.
Thank you.
Don, I'd kind of like to pursue the same line of questioning with you with your first record that came out, your first solo record, All the Women Like to Dance.
Most of the girls.
Most of the girls like to dance, but only some of the guys, men, like to?
Most of the girls like to dance, but only some of the boys like to.
Some of the boys like to. Long title. When that one first came out, you know, Praying Mantis did very well.
Yeah.
When it came time to record Romeo and Juliet, or you're compiling songs, did you feel any, you know, pressure to come up with another Praying Mantis type song, or another song that was, you know, did all of a sudden you say, ooh, I got a hit, let's see if I can do that again?
Well, you know? Praying Mantis was not enough of a hit in the United States to be a real incentive to copy it. And it's kind of one of those one-off songs. You only write your own Louie Louie once, you know.
That was and your Louie Louie?
That was my Louie Louie, Hang On Sloopy, Hang and on. Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Right. All over.
The Don Dixon Legacy, mm-hmm. and Praying Mantis.
You know, it's like it was a three. It was almost an exercise, that song, and try to come up with something kind of cool to do with mm-hmm. three chords, because I had a tendency to use right. a lot of chords, and I wanted to not use a lot of chords on that one.
When you progressed onto your Romeo and Juliet record, did you find it? And I guess this is a question for all of you. When your first album comes out, you know, it's said that you've got your whole life to write your first album, and then after that, you've got 10 months or 2 years or however long you have to
right.
bang out a second one. Was it harder to get the songs for Romeo?
I'd been in that band who'd made a million records, and you know, mm-hmm. Romeo and Juliet to me was a real easy record to make mm-hmm. material-wise. I had to throw a lot of stuff out.
Yeah. Well, it's probably my
plus, favorite. I like cutting other people's songs. I don't ever mm-hmm. feel any sort of pressure when it's time to cut a record, because if I'm like a song short, I'll just go to one of my friends' records and do one of their songs, you know.
Or you'll do Cool.
Sure, right.
That was a great cover from
Thank you. Thank you.
West Side Story. Yeah.
Obviously, Hallie hates me. Hallie had always wanted to cut that one.
Really?
I just want to have the option if I ever, ever
fall. Too bad.
Well, maybe you two can do an impromptu rendition.
No,
I didn't think so. How about something from Romeo and Juliet? Like Your Sister Told Me or Borrowed Time or something along those lines.
Please.
Okay. I'll try to play guitar. I can't really pull off any of those guys on stage.
Okay. Be fun trying, though.
Well, I don't remember them well. Okay, this is a song about a guy who never gets the girl that I write a lot about a lot.
It's about the table and caught hold of your eyes. I fix away the ashes of 100,000 lives. When I smell the still emotion that hangs upon your breath, you leave me with this question: what did you expect? I've seen the diamonds that washed out of your eyes. When you left me for your children and left my life a wreck, you leave me with this question: what did you expect? And it's so hard living on borrowed time. Yes, I'm so tired of living and it moves so slow. Feels like turning tables to crush your frozen hand. And I'm paralyzed by passion that I cannot understand. When your eyes give me the message that your lips can never face, should I knock away my shadow and leave without a trace? And it's so hard living on borrowed time. Yes, I'm so tired of living on borrowed time. I can't seem to let you go, and it moves so slow. Oh, and I'm so tired of living on borrowed time. Yes, it's frightens me, and it moves so slow. Yes, it moves so slow. I can't tell you all I'm feeling. I can't trust.
Thank you.
Marshall, I was on the air. Wake up! I was on the air this morning at 4:30, and I threw on "And Your Bird Can Sing" from Revolver by the Beatles. And for me, it's a minute 58 seconds, and it epitomizes like an incredible pop song from the 60s.
That's all. It's only a minute.
It's like it's minute 58. That's all it is.
Wow.
And it just occurred to me. Well, first of all, you buy albums now. There's never a song under 2 minutes. Rarely ever. They're usually like three, three and a half, four. So, and just in the past couple of years, past 4 or 5 years, have you seen a lot of? Are there any bands that you're into that provide good power pop kind of songs? You know what I'm saying? Have any idea?
I kind of steer clear of most contemporary. I really don't like those guys, Material Issue, very much, for one example.
Mm-hmm. Who do you hate, Marshall?
I'm trying to think.
Line them up.
I do like, somebody said the Smiths. I do like them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you think about bands like R.E.M. and, like...
The Rem Boys. They're nice fellas. They've done some great stuff.
Yeah.
Genesis, I really hate.
Uh-huh.
I started to write a song about them.
Which, do it.
All I have is the lyrics to the first verse.
It's okay.
I hate Genesis. To me, they're truly vile. Their music is mindless and they have no sense of style. I don't know. I'll get over it.
Now, for you, did they start to go downhill when Peter Gabriel left? Because that's what happened for me.
I don't know. I really just have, only the barest, most superficial awareness of them.
Okay, good.
And don't ask me any questions about them.
Okay, no more Genesis questions. Do one of your poppiest songs, one of your happiest, poppiest, funnest songs.
All right.
If you don't mind.
All right, here's one that's never been on one of my records before. This is a real early effort. I kind of like it, though. It's, it's pretty good for what it is. It's called First Love.
Aww.
Oh, I was a fake Beatle when I wrote this.
Here we go. Tell the story.
The thoughts and words and sounds of a fake Beatle.
It's an echo from your past, a memory you didn't know would last. You drive along with the radio on, and suddenly you're singing your old song. Whoa, where can she be tonight? You're hoping that she's alright. No one ever can forget their first love. Just a taste of sweet perfume when you walk into a crowded room, and you remember that April night, the first time you ever held her tight. Oh, you see it all so clear. You're standing there, not here. No one can't forget their first love.
Speaking of the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Although it happened long ago. Well, don't you know you'll never, 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 never let it go.
Thank you.
Now, just a quick question.
Thank you. Now, just a quick question. You were on the air this afternoon. You were in Studio C, the five of you, and you casually made mention to the fact that you were in... No, I'm talking to Marshall. You casually made mention that you were in a road show, but you didn't use the word Beatlemania.
I did?
Yeah.
I didn't mention it well.
No. Is that some part... He was John Lennon in Beatlemania.
It's just, you know, one of many. There were like maybe 70 fake Beatles who passed through the ranks. I was just one.
Is that where that song came from during that time period?
Well, I was, you know, I was trying to, like, make plans.
That was
plans.
When you were in Man of La Mancha, wasn't it?
The truth comes out.
I was interested in quitting the show, so trying to think of a career move, you know, a way to get through life after Beatlemania.
If it's possible.
Okay. No, it's not a secret. I mean, when my first album came out, it was like a really good book. If you want to read a musician's autobiography, is Merle Haggard's autobiography, and he talked about this kind of a crisis that he went through after he had a couple hit records. He had served time in San Quentin and some other prisons, and he decided to make it public, you know, so that no one would. Maybe use it against him, you know, like so that it wouldn't come out at a time when he was like, you know, trying to keep it a secret. And so I treated Beatlemania in the same way. Uh-huh. When I did my first album, I just spilled it. You know, I was in there.
You fessed up to it early.
Yeah,
and it hasn't haunted you since.
It saved me trouble.
Okay, Jules, I wanted to ask you. Your past, you've just done a bunch of different. You've been with a bunch of great bands, the Funky Kings, Jules and the Polar Bears. Is it Reckless Sleepers or Restless Sleepers? Because I read reviews and it says Restless Sleepers.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. They're Reckless.
Reckless. That's what I thought it was. Did you, when it came time to terminate those bands, had you? Like, were they doing a style of music that
to
you had...
terminate those bands.
Well, you didn't, like, kill them.
Shot them.
you didn't, did you? Because that wasn't in any of the magazines I read. But when it came time to move on, had you...
Okay, guys, I'm
string them up from the tallest tree.
You'll never be in any other bands either.
I don't want you, and you won't be with anybody.
I can't have you.
Had you matured, like as far as your songwriting grows, did you feel that you had outgrown the...
Have you matured? Do you not kill your bands anymore?
Back in the old days, I know you used to kill them, but...
Well, when you get a little older, you start valuing life a little more.
You realize, gee, maybe I shouldn't kill these guys. Had your songwriting styles changed, or was it just, and like?
It's always a good reason, but it's always a different one, I guess. If they're so good, why can't I think of them? The Polar Bears broke up because I wanted to move out of Los Angeles. I hated it, and I just thought.
There's one guy that agrees.
He's just applauding for hate of any kind.
Hate, anger, yes.
Just all you got to do is bring it up. And I just wanted to move to the East Coast, and so did the one of the other guys in the band, and so we couldn't have a band on two coasts, so we just broke up. Plus, James's record label, Columbia, wouldn't put out our third record, which we made. Uh-huh. And so it just seemed pretty pointless kind of staying together. I don't blame you, though, Jim.
We're not holding you responsible.
Reckless Sleepers. Well, those guys, you know, that was a good band, and we played a lot around New York and everything. We made this one record, and then they just didn't want to seem to put into it as much as I wanted to put into it. It was like my only thing, and for them, they would go off and like play drums with Joe Cocker on a tour of Europe or something, rather than be there working on songs.
Did you feel more confined in a band, or? Is there a lot more freedom as a solo artist? You're getting to pick your musicians with each project, or?
They're both fun. Music is fun, you know? Yeah. So there's a whole different, lots of different ways to approach it. And all the I'm sorry? Prove it? Is that what you said? Huh?
She says, let's
play something.
Enough
up.
Of this gay banter. Shut up and play. You want to do a song for us from either the Jules and the... She's going to come up and string you up. From either, you know, Jules and the Polar Bears, maybe something from the Reckless Sleepers that you did that you really liked.
I'll play a song I did in Reckless Sleepers.
Okay.
What is it?
Ooh, Don knows this one.
This song I originally wrote for a film, but I didn't make it in the film because they cut the scene out of the movie where we're supposed to go. So I recorded it myself, and then also it was with Reckless Sleepers, but it was also on a record by a guy named Tommy Conwell out of Philadelphia, and it was also on Roger McGuinn's last record, his comeback record. The royalty statements don't reflect that comeback, however.
Blindly follow your friends. I see it.
Thank you.
David, I wanted to ask you this question, and please, you know, don't feel that I'm classifying or something, but is there, you know, coming from Austin, is there a category that your music fits into? Do you consider yourself a folk artist, a country artist, a rap artist?
A sexual god.
Sexual god. Is that a classification? Where are you going, Don? Go ahead. Yes?
No.
Do you like to classify yourself like that? I mean, like, because, you know, you have a country hit with Hard Living, and do you get stereotyped as a country artist, or?
Well, no. For the most part, I've been hard for people to categorize.
Mm-hmm. That's good, though. That's good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Your first record after how many years? You 15 years, your first record came out, what, 1990, correct?
Uh-huh.
And it's only available in England as
of
right now.
That's right.
It's coming out here.
I wanted to be sure people really wanted it before they...
You got to need it. And you're working on stuff for a new one coming out soon?
Yeah, we're going to go in the studio in like September on the new one.
Do you have a track from the new one you want to...
Yeah, okay. I'm waiting for the bass player to get back. Where'd he go?
He's probably mad.
Well, this song's about money and the lack of it, kind of. It's called Hometown.
Home sweet home to me, where they sweep the trash that they don't wanna see. Why walls 10 feet tall around my residence, a fistful of dirt in the eye of a cyclone fin. Say hi to neighbor, that old suit coat is thin. Well, it used to be just okay back before it belonged to him. He's out panhandling to get himself a tree. Says, need a little help, my friend, till I get back on my feet. Whoa, whoa, come sundown, we'll be ready. Come on down to my hometown. Good morning, little sister. It's great to be alive when you're 15, going on 45. $100 could ought to be more fair. You would surely do anything in the world to care. Crackman got a Beamer, Smackman Mercedes Benz, American dreamers with their dividends. And the bedtime story of the good times trickling down lost some of its glory before it played in my hometown. Whoa, whoa, come sundown, Some people say Jesus gonna come back someday, soon as he pleases. Couldn't be any worse, I'd say. 'Cause the poor get poorer and the rich get rich. It's a natural order. Yes, and I just found my niche. Oh, come sundown, we'll be round. Oh, come sundown, come on down to my hometown. Oh, Renaissance eyes. I once had a car, but it was stolen. Renaissance eyes. Tell me your name. Renaissance eyes. Do you ever think about the future? Dress you in a fashion. Dress you in a fashion. Undress you with a passion. Oh, the vision haunts you. So I'm the one who wants you to love me with those eyes. Love me.
Marshall, we talked about Beatlemania. Last night I rented La Bamba. You were Buddy Holly in that one.
Uh-huh.
Is it fun, interesting, enjoyable? Do you like doing movies? You ever want to do one again? Ever? Never?
Possibly, you know. It's pretty good fun. Mm-hmm. Both the times I did it, it was real easy. Mm-hmm. Good hang. Good food.
They treat you nice.
You get to meet movie stars.
Mm-hmm. Easiest song you've ever written?
Easiest song I've ever written. This is the easiest song I've ever written. I just made it up one day as I was walking around backstage at a theater. I think it was in Toronto. And it's the only song I ever wrote where I had the title first. It's also the only song of mine that's ever been recorded in Swedish and in Cantonese. Swedish version of that. Mi bästa tis för driv.
Okay. Jules, started Unplugged on MTV. Could you talk to us a little bit about it? You hosted the first season, is that correct? First 13 episodes, is that right? Or?
Yeah, 13, 14, I don't remember how many. It was the first season, yeah.
Yeah. Just its genesis. Where'd the idea come from? Is it yours? Were you sitting around with a bunch of guys?
We hate genesis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bad word. I just keep slipping up.
I just had this idea. I had a record out called The Third Party, and I had to... Oh, thank you. Somebody bought it.
I own a copy with Marty Wilson Piper, right, at the church.
Yeah. Marty Wilson Piper and I did this record together, and it was just an acoustic guitar vocal record, and when it was going to come out, the record company didn't know how to exploit my record. So
They didn't know what to do because no radio stations really played records that had just one acoustic guitar and one vocalist on it. So they said, I thought maybe a good idea, since I was co-writing with a lot of people at that time, or new people who were more famous than me, that I would put them together in a room and there would be no electric instruments and we would just do different songs with just acoustic instruments and it would be filmed for like a special that would be on HBO. But HBO said no, they didn't want to do it. And then a friend of mine who was a video director said, I'm going to package this idea and take it to MTV. He took it to MTV and he's the one who came up with the name Unplugged. I didn't think of that. And they said, yeah, we'll do a pilot. And we did a pilot, and the pilot was really fun to do, and everybody liked the way it looked, so we did the whole first season.
Okay. Do you, are you...
Okay, okay. That's sufficient. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you. Next. have you seen some people recently on the show that really impressed you doing it lately? I mean,
recently?
Yeah.
I don't watch it.
Yeah, gotcha. The easiest song you've ever written?
Yeah. I don't know, ever. This was a real easy song to write. It had to be easy because I was with some friends of mine, and they were in a band, and they were going over to tour England, and they were going to rehearse in London. And they said, we've got this house, we rent this house, so why don't you just come over? You can stay in the house for free while we're rehearsing. So I said, oh, okay, great, I'll do that. So I went over with them and hung around. And while they were rehearsing every day, I would just go out and goof around London, just walk around every day. But I started feeling really guilty because I was not getting any work done. And that's what I should have been done, was writing for this record that I had to do. So I decided one day, I'm not going out until I write a song. So by virtue of that, I had to write it quickly. So I wrote this song really fast, and then I got out of the house and just started goofing it off. Just like I was and I didn't really think twice about it. And then everybody seemed to like it a lot. And then it got recorded by Cyndi Lauper and was a big hit. In a whole different version. She did it like a real techno sort of thing, and I wrote like a folk song originally. But I haven't played this in the whole tour. It's funny. Not that I didn't like her version, by the way. She had a lovely version. The song bought me my apartment in New York City. I love her version very much.
bringing to a conclusion our media round, David, in 1983, had an appearance on Austin City Limits. Technically,
that is media.
I guess, yeah, that's TV. Did you enjoy the experience? Was it good?
Yeah, I really did enjoy the experience, but it was over.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was, it was great fun, and glad to have done it. And one of the songs that I played on it was the easiest song I ever wrote.
Gee, nice segue, David. That worked out well.
I was living in Denver, actually, when I wrote this song, but I wasn't at where I was living because I was visiting my parents, and I helped them roof this house all day, and then they went to the grocery store, and this song came to me. I didn't even exactly know what it meant or if it was any good or anything.
You can play one of those roofing songs for us.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, since then I thought about roofing houses a lot of times, trying to get something to come. It's called Rain Just Falls.
Well, it might be the sound of a shell I once had, or some kind of long distance call, but it ain't on your account that I'm leaving, if I'm leaving. Rain don't fall for the flowers if it's falling. Rain just falls.
Okay, we've completed four rounds. Now it comes to the final fifth round. And for this one, there's one question that all five of you will answer. And that question is...
Points?
Yeah.
How many points? Is that what he wants to know?
Yeah. It's the bonus round. And the question is, if there was one song that you could personally be responsible for, if there's one song that you could have written, what would that one song have been? So... David, Jules, Marshall, mull it over. You have more time to think about it than Don. Don's on the spot. One song that you could
Chuck?
Done. Yes, Don? You'll
I'm
take
glad you asked that question.
Chuck, I'll take Doc Pomus for 100.
There are lots of songs I wish I'd written. I think I'm going to stick with one that I liked so much I recorded it. It was written by Dan Penn and Chips Moman and Spooner Oldham, and I can't quite decide who all wrote it, but it was those three guys in some form or another. And it was recorded by a really great singer who sort of has gone kind of nutty. His name is James Carr. And it's called At the Dark End of the Street. At the dark end of the street, and that's where we always meet, hiding in shadows where we don't belong, living in darkness to hide our wrong. At the dark end of the street, you and me. I know the time's gonna take its toll. We have to pay for the love we stole. Oh, it's a sin. And I know it's wrong, but I love keep coming on strong. Steal away to the dark end of the street. Gonna find us. They're gonna find us. They're gonna find us, Lord, someday. You and me at the dark end on the street. And when the daylight hours roll around, and by chance we'll both die down. If we
Every night I hear these guys play songs I wish I could have written, all four of them. There's also a song on Katie Lang's new album called Constant Craving. Yeah. I wish I could have written that song.
Great tune.
I could never sing or play that song. Here's a song. I really love this song a lot. When I was just out of high school working in a snowmobile factory, I used to go home from work every night and smoke a bunch of pot and listen to Ronette's records and fantasize about being... you know, in the music business, like being one of those brill building guys. And I still like that era of music a lot, the 60s. And this is a song recorded by these guys called the Bobby Fuller Four, written by a brill building songwriter named Chip Taylor, who also wrote Angel of the Morning, a song I hope I never hear again. Well, this one's called Julie. I really like this.
Ever since you came to town, I'm through with watching you. There's lots more we can do. Julie, I need your love so bad. Come on, Julie, time's wasting. I could be tasting your sweet lips. Come on, give love a try. Don't let it pass you by. Julie, I need your love. My love, my devotion, deeper than the deepest ocean. Julie, I want you to give your sweet love to me. Come on, Julie, say you love me. Give me your sweet love all the time. Come on, take my hand, tell me you understand.
Thinking about this song because we were talking before the question about songwriters and all that, you know, and somebody, was it Marshall or Don, mentioned Felix and Boulot.
You should be taking notes.
Felice.
Felice. What did I say?
Felix.
That was the guy from The Odd Couple.
That's her brother, Felix. I get him confused. It was the same eyes.
Yeah, it was a husband-wife writing team that wrote a lot of wonderful songs.
Felix and Bulo.
Felice.
Yeah, Felix. Okay, so this is a song that they wrote together. I always like. Oh, if I can play the whole thing, it'd be good. I think they wrote this for the Everly Brothers.
Love hurts, love scars, love wounds and mars, and it takes tough, not tough, or strong enough to take a lot of pain, to take a lot of pain. Love is like
best I could.
Leaves me on. Survive all these resistance. Leaves me on.
On behalf of the five musicians here this evening, well, maybe I'm stepping on my toes. Maybe you guys might want to say thanks for coming. I was going to say thanks for coming on behalf of the five musicians, but maybe you guys should do it.
Thanks for coming.
Okay, thanks.
This is a really cool place. Try to support this room because it's a great room.
Big round of applause for Mr. Don Dixon, James McMurtry, Marshall Crenshaw, Jules Shear, and David Halley. Thank you very much for coming out this evening. Don't forget the mailing list outside as you go out. Thank you very much for coming.